B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pet of the Boston Herald had a story over the weekend that the Celtics still want to be the ones to pay Kyrie Irving.
But. I love the but.
What?
You need more than just Kyrie.
He said, but possibilities abound, from Steve Bolpet.
Yeah.
Here are some of the bullet points of this story over the weekend. Two teams for certain are telling people they will only go after Kyrie Irving if they land another marquee free agent. And that the player says he wants Kyrie Irving. In each of these cases, the initial target is different. Holy crap. So there are two other teams that say, we want Kyrie Irving, but only if we get the guy we really want. Yeah. And that guy says, oh, I want Kyrie.
It's package.
Seriously?
Deal. It's package deal now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes me feel good about the Celtics' chances of getting him back.
Because he's number two.
That tells me that other teams don't view him as a number one. The Celtics still do. I believe that. Do you believe that?
I do.
I know that we talked about Wick last week.
I think Wick's playing games.
And he wasn't, you know, openly saying anything. But
what does Wick,
I still believe that they think Kyrie Irving is a number one.
After reading this, and then you go back and you look and you reread some of the stuff that came out of Wick's mouth here on the station with Felger and Maz, it's almost like Wick's playing the game. Sort of, you know what? He's one of 15. He's not a one or a 1A.
Let me put it
this
way.
He's one of 15. We're trying to keep his value down. I don't want to say, oh my God, I love, he's premier talent. I need him. I want him. Because you know what that does?
Can I amend
puts
that?
Puts the value up.
The Celtics view him as worth approaching as if he's a one, even if they're willing to get something, a player that's better than Kyrie Irving. And
Durant, yeah.
Right?
Davis.
Yes. Or Davis or Durant, something like that.
Somebody you build around.
Yeah, exactly. They'd still, you know, if they get Kyrie back, they want Kyrie back either way, even if they still want to make the deal for Anthony Davis. And you can have that debate about who's the one there, who's the better player, who do you build around, whatever. But they're still all in on Kyrie, regardless of who else they have. So they don't have those sort of if A, then B scenarios. The Celtics want Kyrie back either way. That's my belief, even though they're not saying that.
You guys have dug in on Team Kyrie.
I've always been on Kyrie, Team Kyrie.
Yeah.
You don't think there's a chance the Celtics don't want him
you know
back?
What's great?
You don't think there's any chance the Celtics don't want him back?
As soon as the Celtics committed to Team, were in on Team Kyrie, I went on Team Kyrie because that's the path they took. And once you take the path and you choose your guy, I believe you got to stick with it, unfortunately. Because I was never a Kyrie guy, and when you know I didn't like the way he left Cleveland, I thought he was a schmuck for wanting to leave Cleveland. I thought he was nuts.
So you don't think there's a chance that the Celtics know that Anthony Davis might want to be here, even if Kyrie's not here, that they're okay with that?
No.
Wait, run that by me one more time.
Celtics know through back channels that Anthony Davis is okay with being here, even without Kyrie, that they're thinking they can weigh that now and say, all right, is it worth it to bring Kyrie back? And there's a chance that they say no.
No, because you're losing Tatum and Brown potentially.
Wait a minute. That's different, though. Because then, if you know that, you could attract whoever you want if Anthony Davis is here.
So they're not truly all in on Kyrie, then.
But if you have Anthony Davis, you have an anchor, though. By the way, I just don't believe that to be true. I just don't believe it to be true.
It's probably not true. But
I think
I'm
that's fantasy land.
I think there's a scenario where they're not all in on Kyrie. That's my point.
Here's a problem I think with Kyrie.
Let me tell you this. If they land Anthony Davis in a trade before July 1st, okay, and they've got Anthony Davis, you can, and you've got some sort of assurance that Anthony Davis wants to re-up here, regardless of Kyrie's status, then sure, you can be off Team Kyrie. But I think that is pure fantasy. I think that's nuts.
Does Kyrie hear too many of the negative people that say, you know, hit the road, the signs that they're holding up in the building, go to New York, we don't want you? Is he sensitive to that? Or does he look just past that?
Like absolutely, 100% sensitive.
See,
to that.
That,
you know,
could,
why?
That could tell you that I got to get out here and get a fresh start, and I'm still going to get paid wherever the hell I go.
Well,
I
mean,
he's going to make the most
go
money
back
here.
To his guarantee
make
to come
the
back.
Most money here.
Go back to him and that. In that season ticket holder event.
Double down and say, yeah, I'm going to come back.
No.
If
he said, I'll
me.
Come back if you'll have
if
me.
If you'll have me.
That if you'll have
whatever
me
the
part
hell
is
that
the
was,
part you're talking
well, like,
about.
Why would you have been saying that at that time?
I know.
That just tells you how sort of crazy.
If he decided at some point, I want out, he could have just changed his attitude purposely just to offend people so that he could have an out at the end to say, no, I said if you'll have me. And you obviously don't want me, so I'm leaving.
Some interesting tidbits here against the bullpen, Boston Herald. He writes, what's interesting to some across the league is even that Irving is so potentially available this summer. When teams were trying to get into the race for him 2 years ago, they were informed by his side that he would definitely not re-sign with them. We were told that the team he wanted to go to was getting ready to trade for him, said one GM, and that team was Boston. So the Celtics were where he wanted to go. He got what he wanted, and now here we are 2 years later. Crazy. So another GM is saying, we were told we shouldn't be making the trade for him because he didn't want us and he had, you know, sort of back-channeled his way to the Boston Celtics where he wanted to be and wanted to play and was going to re-sign. And now I can't believe 2 years later he's going to hit free agency. This is the place where he wanted to be. So that's another GM expressing some surprise. He's surprised that Kyrie is going to be available. Meanwhile, the chorus here at the Draft Combine continues to sing about Irving's departure from the Celtics, though when some of the more involved sources are pressed on the matter, they refuse to bet their domiciles on the outcome. The Celtics do continue to hold out hope that Irving will clear his head, realize the possibilities in Boston with a reworked roster that may even have Anthony Davis, and choose to stay and fulfill the line from the Nike commercial about getting his number retired there. A line that, by the way, he wrote himself. It would be an epic journey of realization for a guy who considers himself a deep thinker. I like that. That's sort of a challenge issued there. Oh, you're a deep thinker. Well, maybe you should take a step back, do some deep thinking, have a realization, think back to the things that you came up with. You wrote that line about wanting your number retired. Why don't you continue to pursue that? Think about the possibilities. Think about a reworked roster. Think about Anthony Davis being in Boston. Mm. Think about actually accepting that challenge and working toward that challenge. Think about not bailing on something for the second time in 2 years. Think about doing that for once. You quit on Cleveland. Now you're going to quit on Boston too? How about just staying put for once? How about not running away? Mr. Thinker.
Legacy.
Think you can take that? Think
well, stepping back, looking
think you
at
can
your
handle
legacy.
That challenge for once?
Yeah.
Right?
Instead of looking like a runner. Times get tough, you know what I do? I bolt. You know, a little friction in Cleveland, I bolt. Tough times in Boston, I bolt. Yeah.
There's also more in this story about...
I want him, though.
I think
you need him to win.
Yeah, sort of how his attitude was how the way the Celtics went, including how there was a change and maybe even a 180 in the playoffs from the Pacers series to the Milwaukee series and how the way Kyrie went attitude-wise was how the team went. We'll get to that. 617-779-0985 and your calls coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five.
How's your tweets, Kenny? The angry dragon people coming at you?
No, not really.
Nah.
You?
You know what you're talking about.
Well, I didn't say anything like that. You just hate all these people. You just make fun of anyone who watches it. That's your deal. Ooh, dragon people.
Teddy Bruschi, get the popcorn ready. Final episode.
And I don't begrudge anybody who watches it the way you do. Right. That's your thing. Congratulations. Go for it. I don't have anything against that. Mm. I don't have anything against the crowd that watches it. You do. You have something against the crowd that watches
it. Good point, because like you could say Star Wars is sort of the same ilk. To where it's sort of fantasy land, you know, it's...
Well, they're both science fiction in a way.
Yes.
Right?
But yet I don't crack on those people because I think Star Wars is kind of cool, but they're awful.
Oh, but you like that, so then it's acceptable because you like that.
Yeah, but
so it's all about what you like.
The Revenge of the Sith.
World according to Zell.
Yeah. But then I like, the one... But yet you like a mutated a lizard that's called Godzilla.
Yeah.
It's like a movie.
My only issue with it... horrible sci-fi thing that you like? Is there one horrible sci-fi thing that you like?
Yeah, but I don't think it's horrible.
Aliens. Well, awesome.
Yeah, but
Predator.
Yes, I'll tell you what it is.
I have one. I have one that I like.
Pacific Rim.
What's that? I don't even know what that is. What is that?
Pacific Rim.
I'm unfamiliar with that.
And double check me on this.
So I was just going to giggle because he heard the word rim.
The original. The second one, not good. The first one, very cheesy. Dialogue is awful. It's essentially what happened, Beetle. Is these giant monsters came up out of the ocean and started attacking cities. So in order to defeat the monsters, we created monsters of our own. And they built these huge robots to fight the kaiju. They're called Jaegers, the pilot-driven fighting robots.
This looks pretty modern. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah. I think it's Guillermo del Toro who either directed it or
directed it.
And it's... Look,
he's very famous.
Yeah, it's really cheesy and the dialogue kind of sucks and you know the acting is. I just love it. I've watched it 10 times at least. I saw it in the movie theater. Wow. I love that. Now, and again, the sequel, not so much. The first Pacific Rim.
Guillermo del Toro is most famous, most recently for The Shape of Water.
Yes, and I believe Pan's Labyrinth,
which I
saw another one
relentlessly. Shape of Water.
Shape of Water.
Which was that weird movie with the
Bruce Lee?
No.
Well, with the fish man.
The fish man.
That kind of looked like the fish man from Hellboy.
Remember?
I remember that.
We talked about it at the time.
Didn't it win Best Picture?
Did it?
It was nominated.
Something did.
Yeah, something did.
You made the Blade movie, or one of the Blade movies, right?
Anyway. Yeah.
Zoe, yours is Star Wars.
I like
Star Wars, but I feel like that's pretty mainstream.
But it lost its...
I'm talking about mine? Star Trek.
Star Trek was good.
Next Generation, though, of the 90s. Mm. Yes.
Lost in Space.
With the bald guy?
Warning.
Jean-Luc Picard? Yes. Yes. Patrick Stewart as Jean-Luc Picard? Yes. That is my... Like, I could sit down and watch 10 episodes of that in a row, no problem. Yep. Absolutely. You know who I share that obsession with? Fred Smirlis, believe it or not.
Greek.
Anytime I see Fred Smirlis, we could sit there and talk Star Trek. Till the cows come home. Yep.
Tell what, Captain Spock? He's one of
my You never know it. The guy is an encyclopedia of Star Trek knowledge.
You know what was on yesterday?
I played with him. I didn't even know that.
Yep. I don't know how we discovered it one day, but we did.
You ever watch Galaxy Quest? The kind of parody of Star Trek?
Yeah, I don't like it.
You didn't like it?
No.
It was on over the weekend. I watched part of it. I like that movie. Sam Rockwell's really good in it. Tim Allen's good in it.
You know what I watched a lot of was Battlestar Galactica back in the day.
So apparently.
I make fun of it, but I used to sit there and draw the ships.
The reboot of Battlestar Galactica, and I want to say it was on like 10 years ago
Fred Smirlis once saved your life.
Oh, yeah.
Literally saved Zoe's life.
Him and like Tippett. Yeah.
Heimlich maneuver?
I would say in the same vein. Yes.
John Stevens was an a-hole.
Oh, that adrenaline
running
needle?
Back, yeah.
They had to give you the adrenaline needle?
Cheapest guy I ever played with, too.
Heroin?
Tell the story. This is worth telling.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get back to the Kyrie rumors, this one's worth telling.
It was the old locker room, you know, where the ramp goes down to the field?
Yeah.
So they had the big laundry bins in there. Yeah. Of course, you know, me being a rookie, I would always have fun and make fun of some of the veterans. And then Stevens got pissed off one day, a running back, John Stevens. He was a running back. Leonard Russell, nickname was 8-Ball. Because he was black as an 8-Ball.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was talking to Jim.
Oh.
I didn't know you've told this on the air before.
Oh, yeah. I think so. So don't tell.
So this was an era of un-PC nicknames.
I don't remember you telling it.
No, so
they taped your whole head up.
So me and 8-Ball were boys, but then Stevens is just, he was a prick, man. And just always getting into things with everybody. And we used to have this soda cooler right in front of us. It was right by the quarterbacks. And Donnie Brosher, the old equipment guy, would fill it up with sodas every day. He'd come on, he'd take them off one by one and put them in there. And he would lock it. And then you have cold sodas. They would give you free sodas at the end of practice. I'm like, oh, it's pretty cool. Wow, we got a.
This is a long time ago.
John Stevens,
replenishing with electrolytes. Hey, have a Coke.
John Stevens, I think he ran for over 1,000 yards that day, that year.
Pack of Marbreds and a soda.
Actually, got paid pretty well at the time. For that time, he had a good running back contract.
Can you just get to the story?
Yeah, no.
Brought in a bag and filled it up with sodas. He brought in a gym bag and filled it, took them all home.
Okay,
so I started ripping him for it. So he tapes my whole head up with duct tape, but he covers my face, you know, my nose and thing, and puts me in one of those bins and sends me down the thing, and I couldn't breathe. And Fred goes, hey, and Fred and he didn't see eye to eye. Fred has his own beliefs. John had his. And Fred and him, like, almost went through down, like, in lock.
Hold on
like,
a second.
Fred chased the laundry bucket.
Let's go get my boy Zoe. And Tippett ran down with him, too. And he got me, and I wrapped my head.
So how was your life in danger?
Because he couldn't breathe.
Nobody knew
they
I was in the
They duct taped his whole face.
Did they duct tape your hands?
Yeah. He tied me up, yeah.
Did he do this by himself?
I did not get turned on.
Did he do this by himself?
No, he had help.
Who?
There were other guys. Gene Lockhart used to play for the Cowboys. He was a mean son. SOB.
Ooh. So how many guys did it take
held him down,
to duct tape your mouth shut and tie your hands?
Oh, five. Like good times.
Tied him up, duct taped him up, threw him in the laundry bin.
Yeah. Can't do that now.
They taped his whole
hazing
head.
Nowadays.
Couldn't breathe.
That was back when.
He was going to suffocate in the laundry bin.
This was back when they scalped
Smurls had
man.
To chase him down and untape his head.
I'm just thinking about a world where that may have happened.
I had a mohawk.
Now.
I had a mohawk. Right down the middle of my head.
I'm back.
They held me down, shaved my head. They abused us as rookies. Can't do that nowadays. It's called hazing.
Can't drink an RC Cola after practice anymore either. Oh.
Moxie.
Tab.
Go right down.
Tab.
Too. Delicious.
I love Tab. That aftertaste. It's good, though.
Smurl has saved his life.
Saved my life, Freddie. I'm forever indebted to him. Yeah. Good times. 2-14. I'll do a lot for you.
Yeah, good team chemistry there. Yeah, you can tell. Wonder why the team sucked.
Yeah.
Speaking of unhappy teams and bad team chemistry, Steve Bolpet's story in the Boston Herald says there is room to wonder whether Kyrie Irving will ever be truly happy.
Who cares?
Some who have been with him
if he's happy.
And other stops have told the Herald it's an ongoing concern that it's hard to know how he will be from day to day. And while his Celtics teammates generally had good relationships with him. Wait, can I stop there?
Let me ask you something.
Isn't that good? Wait.
Let me ask you something. Does Kevin Durant look like a happy person?
No.
He looks miserable.
He's never looked happy.
You look at him when he's doing his interviews with the team.
He never looked happy when he was in Oklahoma City. He never looks happy now. He's always pissed off.
So why do we
have to worry about him? Kyrie are very similar.
There's a reason why Adam Silver came out at that Sloan conference a few months ago and said
everyone's depressed. We played that sound at the time.
It just so happened he was in Boston when he did it, but.
Yeah. Imagine if they didn't let the NBA smoke weed.
His league is a bunch of guys who apparently have problems with depression.
Yeah, imagine if they didn't let him smoke weed. They'd be really, really depressed.
Now, this is what I was thinking about.
Whatever they want. What do they need? Prozac? Weed? What's the protocol for this
now? It's crazy.
Well, that's
what is the issue?
Making $36 million a year.
That's the issue, Beetle. And this is something, when I read that article, I was thinking, you know what? This sounds less and less like a difficult player and a guy who's got some real issues. And years from now, we may like look back on this time and say, oh, no wonder he wasn't happy. He was, you know, dealing with depression or bipolar or something because
drugs, what is it?
The way you need.
Not wired right, man.
Help the guy, well, please. Somebody help him.
It's not a question of not wired right. It's just it sounds like a guy who may be dealing with some stuff when they say he wouldn't be happy anywhere and that when he leads, it's great. But when he doesn't, it's a problem for everybody. It's like you're dealing with a lot of like psycho stuff. You know it's a codependent relationship.
Yeah.
You got a guy who runs hot and cold.
Do you know what I think is a problem? I bet there are guys in this league that are really good, that are superstars, that don't really like basketball.
They probably get bored.
That were brought up and found out they were pretty good.
Play AAU.
And there was a lot of pressure to keep
playing.
Around.
It's tiring.
Kept playing and then were AAU players, and then were recruited.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, it was their path to millions of dollars. And
now we could become record
fame and stardom.
We could make albums. We could sell shoes.
A lifestyle that anybody would want. And then they got to it, and it was like, oh, this is it?
There's something to that.
There's a lot of pressure in this. There's a lot of things I didn't really know to expect with this. And it turns out, I don't really like the basketball part of all this.
Okay. There's something to that with other guys. But when I watch Kyrie, there's a guy that goes out there and creates, right? He's actually, you know, when he is in his element and in his moment, he plays the game as someone who still enjoys the game. When I think of guys like that, I think of like, and like golfers, like kids who are forced to, you know, they stick a golf club in their hand and it's, yeah, they can play a little bit, but they don't love it.
I think there are guys in every sport that have this problem.
I think they're probably
don't love what they're doing.
There are offensive linemen who are like, yeah, I'm big and I can block, but I don't love it. You tell me that you watch Kyrie when he's going off for 40 one night and he is driving the lane and he has got the handle on the ball and he is doing everything he can to get to the rim and that he doesn't like it anymore. That one. Now, he may not like on that day or on certain days, he may not like anything. And that's what I'm talking about. It's a bigger mental issue than him just not liking basketball. And I'm with you. I think there's guys in every sport, like you said, who don't like it. They were forced into it and they had an aptitude toward it. But watching Kyrie
play, there
are
guys that are playing in the NHL right now that had the crazy hockey parents.
100%.
They were really good athletes and really good hockey players.
100%.
And they just kept doing it. And then they made it all the way. And then it's like, man, I really don't love this.
But watch Kyrie. He doesn't play like a guy who doesn't love the game anymore. He plays like a guy who may not love his teammates or may not love the fact that they got, you know, only one game off the Bucks before they got run out of the playoffs.
And it says here, while his Celtics teammates generally had good relationships with him, there was an acknowledgement that traversing his emotional spectrum. For example, as he went from the benevolent leader at the end of the regular season and through the Indiana series and game one against the Bucks, to the way his disappointment manifested itself in the four losses that followed was an issue. So when they're winning and things are going well, we love Kyrie. They lose. He's not a good guy to be around. As Terry Rozier told NBC Sports Boston during the year, Kai's our leader. And when he's in a good mood and he's feeling good, we're hard to beat and it's contagious. It rubs off on everybody else. Sometimes when he's not like that, it can get everybody uptight. So now what happens? We'll see. Mike Zarin said Friday, he is the assistant GM of the Celtics. If you don't know who he is, he said we'll have more conversations with him and his representatives in the coming weeks. We had a quick exit interview with everyone on the team. And the day after you lose a tough playoff series is not the time to have those conversations. There's always one goal in Boston, and it's Banner 18, and that's what we're after. It's going to be a very busy summer, but we haven't had any of those conversations with him or his people yet. I know he went on vacation, and as he comes back, we'll talk with him. We'll see where things go. So they're planning on talking to him as soon as he gets back from vacation.
Nice.
They're going to keep talking to him. They're going to try and sign him. They're going to try and pay him, and they can pay him more than anybody.
Yeah. If Wick kisses his butt last week, you know what it does? It drives his value up.
And they're going to try and sell him.
It's probably pretty smart by Wick.
On the idea of a reworked roster and no Terry Rozier barking over in
He'll
the corner
happy.
About his minutes.
So offended.
Or his role.
Sacrifice.
Or any of that. That's what they're going to be selling him on. And maybe it's enough. Maybe it's enough to keep him here. There's also a rumor over the weekend that he wants Brooklyn and Durant wants the Knicks. Why the hell does he want Brooklyn? But if true,
too big a stage, Madison Square Garden.
If true, that's one more in the favor of the Celtics. There is division.
Didn't say he wanted, though. It said his people are steering him that way.
Okay. Well, his camp wants Brooklyn. Durant's camp wants the Knicks. If he leaves Golden State, he would want the Knicks. And again, that other part, that two other teams only want Kyrie if they land their other guy.
What's better for the league, putting those two in the same city on different teams or putting them on one team? I don't know. I mean, maybe different teams. Spread it out. Spread it out. You know what, Kevin? You go to the Knicks, Kyrie.
Maybe those two teams
you go to Brooklyn.
Are the Knicks and the Nets. Maybe the Knicks say, we only want Kyrie if we get Durant. And the Nets are saying, we only want Kyrie if we get Durant. And therefore, if they're not going to the same place, they're not going anywhere. And they're both going back to the same teams they're with right now. Those are the latest rumors. on Kyrie Irving. Red Sox had themselves a weekend. Astros, they got one yesterday, thankfully. Salvaged something.
Thank
from
you,
the
Chavis.
Yeah, exactly. Thank God for this kid.
Thanks little kid.
We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
There a high fly ball by Chavis. Forget about this one. It is gone and out of the ballpark. His 8th home run, another monster shot.
Yeah, get the tape. I got your cutter right here.
Red Sox were able to salvage something over the weekend yesterday in the form of a 4-3 win over the Astros with a Michael Chavis home run. Do you hear that? What is that?
That's music.
Where's that coming from?
Oh, it was like extra music. Oh, it was
your
phone.
You know what it was?
Oh.
What was it? I got one of those little... You ever seen these things?
Smartphone?
No.
I've seen those.
No.
Yeah, an iPhone?
You ever see these tile things?
Yeah.
On your keys?
Yeah.
I bumped it on, and then it rang my phone. Mm. That's what it did. Did I lose your keys? It's good. Sorry about that. I was like, what is that chime? Even when your phone's on silent, it will ring it. Sorry about that.
Ha!
You know what I'm doing?
I see that.
Yeah, see? So if you lose your phone or you lose your keys, you're good. Sorry. My apologies. I'm like, what is that?
So wait a minute. So you could call the keys?
Or, yeah, from my phone, or you can call your phone from your keys.
Get out of here.
Two ways. Two-way street there.
I got to get that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to get that.
I got to get that.
I got that.
Let's get it.
I got one of those.
Give me you. Give me that.
I didn't do that.
Put it on my phone.
Anyway, Michael Chavis is obviously been a huge shot in the arm for the Red Sox. And yesterday they get a 4-3 win. And the Red Sox over the weekend. Yesterday was the day that they had to win yesterday. They had to win. I went into the day yesterday feeling as if today's the day they gotta get a win. Got Sale going yesterday. He goes 5 1/3, gives up 3 earned runs, and he's got a toe boo boo.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I don't believe he had a toe boo boo.
And no Sandy Leon yesterday.
Oh, I mean, that's always.
Do you have his baby yet? Is he good on maternity?
Very.
Leave?
He's back today with David Price.
Good?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Very, very critical, as we know. Apparently, he had a previously undisclosed toe injury that was holding him back. You don't buy it?
I don't. Based on what Sale said, coming out of the gate and how bad he was.
Jim McCaffrey, Athletic, reports he was dealing with a toe injury that contributed to the alarming drop in velocity that led to his 0-5 April. Dana Lavangi told The Athletic, Chris's spring training was different. We tried to do the exact same things we did last year. The only difference is Chris was going through contract negotiations.
What the hell's that guy?
I don't know how that factors in. I don't know how that factored in. But he
I thought he didn't get bugged by that stuff, right?
But he had a little bit. He had a little bit. A little bit. Like, did he have a toe injury or not? He had a little bit of a toe injury.
Yeah, a little bit.
That slowed him down a little bit.
Wait a minute. Was he afraid he was going to blow his arm out and didn't want to light it up because he was going through contract negotiations?
So there were some things.
Yeah, why would you slide that in? You know what I mean?
To the early on
stuff.
Other than that, it's not like that's taking his time away.
I basically felt like he was going through his spring training sort of in April.
protective. He was protective of himself.
So he waited to really loosen the arm up until he got the contract.
Yeah.
Then what other reason could it be?
Get him up and flying. Chrisell is so guarded. Not guarded, but I mean, I don't think he's a phony. I don't think he's a fake. I don't think he gives you stuff that you want to hear. I think he tells it like it is. And when that guy is despondent after starts where I don't have answers for anything, I don't know what's going on. I just got to keep grinding. I got to keep getting back out there. That has nothing to do with a toe. And he's telling you, like, I don't have it, and I don't know why. It's driving me crazy. Like, I remember Sell at the beginning of first three starts. Just having, we have no answers, nothing on it. You don't let your ace that you're negotiating with for that type of money, and this guy means everything to that rotation. He's your front guy. He should be. You don't let him hang himself out there without putting it out there that, yeah, he's dealing with a toe injury. That's why he's pitching that way. You don't let him publicly hang himself.
He had the toe injury, and now he's not dealing with the toe injury? Had a toe injury.
Well, you would have an answer for it.
Well, he had a toe injury.
If you had a toe injury.
Have a toe injury now.
Yeah, I'm not able to step the way I want to step, but I'm trying to work through some things.
He had the toe injury.
Or maybe he's one of those big anti-HIPAA people. You know, like, hey.
Doesn't feel.
We're not putting any medical.
Oh, that's a good point, too. Like, is Dana Lavangie going to face some sort of HIPAA violation now?
Better be careful.
I know that he's very, very likes to play close to the vest with his medical thing.
Sale's not a civilian, though, so. Not like Ainge.
Civilian.
No, but I know that for Dave Dombrowski, he's always said, you know, HIPAA. Can't talk about Chris Sale. HIPAA. He's often cited HIPAA.
But he'll tell you everything you need to know about Pedroia. He's got a bum knee, man. Terrible knee.
By the way, Rick Porcello got sent out for the eighth inning over the weekend, and that was a huge mistake, and Alex Cora took all the blame for it after the game. Do you know what that was a clear-cut example of? Alex Cora being afraid to use his bullpen because it's trash. That's why.
Or did he hear some of the stuff for not leaving Sellin to get his strikeout?
Or was he sending a message to Dombrowski?
I think it's sending a message to Dombrowski. But either way, does a message have to be sent? I mean,
Is
it a message to Dombrowski, like, that you leave Porcello out there? Or is it just legitimate fear of your crappy bullpen?
I think you're desperate. But look at the opponent. That's your former team out there that you won a championship with as an assistant. They're in your building. They're hot as hell right now. You're trying to stop them, and you're going to do everything you can to maybe overmanage the situation.
What's a better message,
maybe that's
though?
What he did.
See, that's what I mean. I don't think it's a message necessarily, Jim.
I wanted that game.
You know what's a better message? Take Porcello out of the game the way you're supposed to. Send out the reliever the way you're supposed to.
The book. What's the book tell
and
you?
And let him get lit up and then say, Dave, your bullpen blows. Like, what do you want me to do?
Hey, get Brazzer up.
Bullpen's not good. Can't hold leads. Bullpen hasn't been very good.
Xander Bogaerts spoke well of them yesterday.
Of who?
The bullpen.
What'd he say?
I was going to play it earlier. I didn't get a chance to.
Oh,
Jim,
let's
am
hear
I
him.
Up?
Can we hear this?
Yeah.
That's been obviously one of the strengths for us, like, especially in tight games. I feel like they've done a great job, man. And today for Walden to come in and get that huge double play right there, it was clutch.
I just don't know that the Red Sox bullpen has been good with a lead. Protecting leads.
That's been obviously one of the strengths for us. Like,
has it?
Yeah, I think he's
earlier in the season.
I think he's giving them credit they do not deserve.
Well, right. We talked about the double play. Is that the bullpen? And the double play was huge. Defensively, it was huge. Earlier in the season, they were squeezing out a few wins when none of the starters seemed to be clicking. It was the bullpen that was actually playing well for them. Start of the season. But since then, no. Cannot agree with his assessment.
Tyler Thornburg, by the way. Remember when Dave Dombrowski used to keep throwing Tyler Thornburg's name out there because he won't let the trade go that he made for Tyler Thornburg? Why can't I say
Thornburg.
That? Thornburg.
And we all know what Tyler Thornburg. Yeah?
Right. He kept bringing him up because he traded for Tyler Thornburg.
We were sitting down at football camp last year when he was doing that.
That guy sucks. He is a dumpster fire.
There's people like on the actual team broadcast questioning, why is he even on a roster?
Why is he on the team?
Yeah. How do you justify even putting him in the same room with these other teammates? Yes.
Did you see part of Saturday's game when, I don't even know how to pronounce it, it's Weber or Weber? came in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like he's 11 years old. He's 28 years old. He looks like he's 11. I had no idea. It's the first time in a while I've watched a game and said, I have no idea who this guy is.
Yeah,
I had to look it up on my phone as I'm watching the game.
Yeah, there's some problems. There's some problems. Colton Brewer's not any good either. There's problems. There's problems with that bullpen. And I think when you saw that, you saw Porcello going back out, you're like, oh, here's Cora. He's afraid of his bullpen. This is what it is. Clear fear of the bullpen. Sounds like a slogan. Clear fear of the bullpen.
Clear fear, present.
Clear fear of the bullpen by Alex
Velasquez
Cora.
Gave him a solid third of an inning to start the other night. So.
And Alex Cora is like profusely apologizing.
Is that the quickest hook ever?
And when I heard Cora apologizing for leaving Porcello in, I'm like, I sort of get it, dude. I mean, I know you're apologizing. You're putting it on yourself. Like that, I have a lot of respect for anyone who wants to take blame for that, but I sort of get why you did it. Your bullpen stinks. You took a roll of the dice. It didn't pay off. Blame your GM. Your bullpen stinks. 617-779-0985. Don't go anywhere. Zolak and Bertrand, we roll on. Got something on Julian Edelman from over the weekend. Really, it's something for Hardy, if you don't mind. Yeah, we'll touch on that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yes!
Julian Edelman has doing a lot of singing recently on his Instagram account, right? I don't know if you've seen him. He's got a new one. Hardy's not going to like this one.
I love
one.
This song, though.
I don't know.
I saw this, but I didn't listen to it because I didn't want to listen to
it. It's tough. It's a tough listen. I won't lie. It's a tough listen. So what'd you make of it? It's not good.
No.
It's not good. I mean, Hardy doesn't like the Eagles to begin with.
That's problem number one.
But anything worse than a band you don't like?
I'm not liking it, but...
Is someone singing it and singing it poorly?
You don't know where he is. You don't know if he's having a great day. You don't know if the windows are down. It's like 85 out.
We were trying to tell if he was driving. It doesn't look like he's driving.
He's not driving. He is not driving. Nope.
It's because...
It's almost like he taped the phone to the back of the headrest of the driver.
No, you know what happens is when you do the selfie mode, it, you know, mirror images, you know how it always makes it look weird?
Reverses it.
Yeah, so he's actually in the passenger seat, but it looks like he's in the driver's
looks like
seat.
He's driving. Right.
He's actually on the other side of the car, but it flips
it's almost
the
like
image.
You look in a mirror, it says ambulance.
Yeah,
it's spelled
exactly.
Backwards. If you actually
it flips the image. He's actually in the passenger seat. It just ambulance. Looks funny. But you're looking at it going, it looks like he's in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's have a listen.
I was thinking to myself, this could be heaven or this could be hell.
Oh.
He had to clear his throat in the middle?
Is there a slee stack in the car?
What the hell?
All right, he's from California, so we'll give him that. Like, hey, I'm in a hotel. Maybe he's in California having a good time. Windows are down. I'm jamming. Good tune comes on. It looks like it's sort of staged. You know, who's the guy, the weirdo, that drives around in cars, the karaoke guy? The Brit.
James Corden?
Yes, thank you. Okay. You know, oh, look who it is. It's Paul McCartney in the car, you know? So it's, I think it's just like Edelman driving around by himself saying, you know, I'll be funny here. Watch this.
Some days to remember, some days to forget.
He lost, he forgot the words here.
We haven't had what? That spirit here. I know there's no answer, but I want to ask it anyway. What's the point of this?
I actually think there's more to the other one where he does Jukebox Hero to Foreigner.
The crazy eyes?
And he's got a big fat dip in, and I think he's feeling it.
I think he's feeling that dip.
I'll have what he's having. Give me some hat.
Is this going to be a thing now? That's all I want to know. Is this now part of a series?
Well, it depends how many people are going to react to it. Because if he gets good reaction, he continues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's throw this out there.
Let's not encourage him. Does anybody need this? Is anybody clamoring for this?
No.
Anybody want this?
No.
I'd rather watch Zoe sing in his car than Edelman.
I'll do that.
I'd like to encourage that, if you don't mind.
Would you? Is that something you want to watch?
Yep, it is. Yeah.
The feverish pace, skipping to channel to channel, because you know you don't listen to the whole songs, all right?
Yeah, you know what?
No chance.
You know what I want to get you, though? Because I don't want you to hold the phone. I want you to get like some sort of mount. Thing. I want to get you like whether it be on
NBC
the windshield.
Sports Boston camera crew, the camera guys.
No, I don't need that.
Yeah. Let's buy him a nice GoPro.
Like, I'm not buying him that.
I want a helmet.
If NBC wants to buy it for the summer months,
do it for
to put in the car for the summer
on a boat.
And nothing against Zoe's singing. I'd rather watch video of somebody singing in the car that you think, I can't believe that guy sings in the car. Like T-Bone, for instance, if he had a car.
Right.
Watching T-Bone sing in the car would be something different.
Watching Belichick sing
in the car would be something that I would watch.
But of course Edelman sings in the car.
My favorite one is like where they catch these people off guard. Like that black guy was pumping gas. I don't know if you saw it like on Facebook.
I would pay to see T-Bone drive like
that show.
Like a yellow Vespa around town. With like a GoPro mount.
I think he'd look good on that thing.
The guy that was pumping gas. So the guy gets on the screen. You know, they'll say if some movie screen, the little TV screen's about to pump.
Yeah,
hey,
the helmet on.
Can you sing anything? The guy's like, what? Scared the hell out of him. You know, guy's trying to pump gas. He goes, yeah, I know Bon Jovi. Give me Living on a Prayer. And they play it. And he starts belting it out. And like, dude, God, he nails it. Like, I'd dig
seeing. So that wasn't set up at all.
That was not set up, Jim, because the guy does a bit. It's like a show.
You just said he nailed it, though.
No, but he's that good. And then his girlfriend got out and they did another song. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? We're going to pick your gas up for free. Yes. Thank you. And they're hugging. You can tell they're happy.
Yeah. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.